Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we hear the gospel lesson, and the one thing that is needful, it is you. It is your love and your peace, your words into our hearts and minds. Father, as we go out into this world, we know that it is void of their words, of your peace, of your truth, of your love and grace. Father, we need your peace. We need your love each and every day. We need to sit at your feet to be near you once again. Father, we ask especially at this time that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Christ, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So why come here? Why come here and spend an hour or two, depending on length of sermon, and worship? If you ever wondered that question at all, you are not the only one. Why do we get up before work or take some time before getting to sleep at night to do a devotion and prayer? Once again, if you ask that question at all, you are not the only one. Why is it that we take time before every meal, or almost every meal, and pray over it? Why? If you have ever asked any of these questions, you are not alone. These are great questions, questions that many of us, if not all of us, have asked at least once in our life. Why is it that we do these things? You may be thinking, there is no way someone like me would ever question why we worship, why we go to church. You know, I'm a pastor. Worship is what I do. I've heard it a few times already that only on this day, Pastor Ed and I work. You might say it's our jobs to come here every Sunday morning and be with you to do that. So we shouldn't question the practice of going to church, should we? Yet there came a time, even for I, when I asked that question of why take that hour or two away from my Sunday morning just to be at church. In fact, and don't tell Pastor Ed I said this, I'm holding you to that, I not only questioned it, but I actually tried it on purpose once to see what it was like. It was a Sunday morning in the frozen tundra called Seward, Nebraska. You can imagine this place. It's really cold, really, really cold. It was the type of cold that went through your bones. I got up that morning at the same time that I'd go to church. Instead of putting on my Sunday best, which included a tie, a dress shirt, and slacks, I took out my devotional book that morning off the shelf called David by Beth Moore. In fact, I've got it right here with me. I took that out that morning. I felt it was a pretty good devotional as I was reading it. It even had questions at the end that I could fill out. I got to a particular question in that book. Let me open it up to read it to you. And it says, where does your husband come up short in caring and understanding department? And be honest, where do you come up short for him? At that moment, I knew this was obviously not written for men. At least I hope not. I stopped right there also in terror quickly. That came over my mind because it dawned on me that this book was sitting in the middle of my shelf in plain sight where everyone could see it, but in particular, my roommate could see it all year long. Perhaps that's why he gave me some strange looks throughout the year. So I put this book someplace where my roommate could not find it and decided to just work on projects at school. But I felt weird. I felt weird that whole day, and I believe it wasn't just from reading the wrong devotional book. The feelings I had were feelings of shameful, being dirty, like I just done something that was wrong. This wasn't the case that of the underpinning schedule our bodies are made that was off kilter here. That the congruent, predictable time schedule set up long ago by my own parents was attacking my body because I wasn't performing those repetitions at worship exercises of standing up, sitting down, kneeling, holding hands. And now let's do the shuffle as we get out of the pews. I feel that we all do get a sense of feeling that there's something missing in our weeks when we miss our time here our devotions or our prayers in the morning and at night. But what we're missing here is not actual exercises or practices of doing it. It is our time to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. In our lesson today, we see Martha setting up her home for the unexpected visit from Jesus. Welcoming someone in Martha and Mary's time and culture meant also getting things ready for the guest, like a meal and possibly also for lodging that night. Mary and Martha are people who knew Jesus very well. In fact, they have a brother named Lazarus who we know is described as a friend of Jesus. So we know these women were followers of Jesus and his teachings too. An important lesson that they would have heard and would have known about would have been last week's lesson about the Good Samaritan. The point of this lesson centered around the question of who is my neighbor and also how are we to show love to them? Jesus answers that question through the story about a neighbor who was beaten up, robbed, left for dead on the road. It wasn't the priest or the Levite who helped, but it was a man from Samaria, a half-breed of a Jew who had compassion on him. This guy treated the beaten, stripped, robbed man as a neighbor. And Jesus ends that lesson by saying, "Go and do likewise." Now, Luke, I believe, doesn't place the story of Martha and Mary here for no reason. There's a purpose for that. It is to further explain how you can love your neighbor as yourself in verse 27 of chapter 10. According to the Good Samaritan parable, Martha is loving Jesus here as herself. She is getting things ready for him. And perhaps nothing would have been said if not for what Mary was doing. Lazy Mary, taking her place by the Lord's feet and just listening to his words. She is getting out of work that is the Jewish culture required for a guest when he comes to your house, as we saw with Abraham in the Old Testament. From the viewpoint of Martha, she could claim that this is similar to the story of Cinderella. One sister doing all the work while the others are enjoying themselves at her expense. That's why Martha cries out in our text today, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." In other words, this isn't fair, Jesus. You told us about the story of the Good Samaritan. Love thy neighbor. That's what I'm doing. Why is it that she is getting to sit around and do nothing? Well, we see with Martha's case how some of us might even lobby for her side because we've all been there before. We carry out that love for neighbor passage in our own lives in many different ways. We Marthas do our duty faithfully because that's what we are called to do. The only problem is that there are all of those Marys out there. They come and they sit at the feet of Jesus, just taking, listening to him and neglecting the possible opportunities to serve their neighbors in love. Are any of you with me on this? Thank you. Yeah, we know how this all ends, don't we, though? Jesus rebukes Martha. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. I mean, Martha, Martha, verses 41 and 42. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needful. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Look at this. Jesus is saying that Mary's way is better because she has decided to sit at his feet. Martha, impossibly feeling the duty of the law of loving thy neighbor, chose to serve the Lord in another way, while Mary is choosing to receive love and comfort at the feet of Jesus. How do we put these things together? God's desire for you and me is to not stop loving our neighbor as thyself, but to come to him, first like Mary, and receive his gifts each and every day at the same place as her, at the feet of Jesus. We hear the people calling out to us each and every day to serve and to serve some more. But how is it possible to do such a thing when we haven't sat at the feet of Jesus first, to take in the nourishment from him? Another book that I have with me that came from college too comes from Dr. Tim Elmore, Habitudes, Images That Form Leadership Habits and Attitudes. It's a good book and actually applies to both genders this time. If we were to look at chapter 2, Dr. Elmore describes the image of the starving baker here. He says this: imagine, if you will, you visit a new bagel shop not far from your campus. You love going there because the chief baker has created a new recipe for breads, pastries, and cinnamon rolls that are better than you've ever tasted in your life. I'm sorry for some of you who have not had breakfast this morning. I didn't have a big one either myself. Soon, words get out about this bagel shop. Crowds start forming lines each day, waiting for the new confections to come from this baker's marvelous kitchen. The baker doesn't have enough help and ends up trying to serve all the customers himself. He's scurrying back and forth, busy with all the requests of the people, but oblivious to what's happening to him. His exhaustion is quickly becoming burnout. What's worse, as you watch him for weeks, you see a change. This man is getting thin, very thin. It almost seems like he's shriveling up. What's the deal? You decide to just sit down and observe for a few hours. Suddenly, the problem becomes obvious. This man never stops to eat. The irony is he is busy serving bread to everyone else, but never stops long enough to feed himself. With food all around him, he is starving himself. The bottom line is, you must be served first in order to serve others. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we cannot go out and expect to be much help for others if we haven't first sat down at Jesus' feet to eat. You Marthas out there, you need your time to be served, lifted up by the help of God's gifts of his word and sacraments and prayers. Don't just go out into the world without eating first. I want you to picture the world as we live in it as a desert. In this desert, it is critical to know where the oasis of water is. Because of sin, our world is void of them. It is parched, dried up. There are very few places available for us to go and replenish in this desert world. Going out in this desert without first having taken time to sit at the feet of Jesus can cause severe damage to our spiritual bodies. If we haven't replenished our souls with the cool, crisp, refreshing Spirit of God found at the well of the Word each day, we are likely to perish in the desert's heat. That is the answer to our question of why we come here, why we do devotions every day, how we pray every day and every night. These are the places that you and I take, as Mary does here, right at the feet of Jesus, to hear his words of comfort, his words of peace, his words of love that will never be overcome by our demand for it. That is why we are here, and that's why I'm here too. You and I receive today and every day the provisions that our Lord shares with us to this journey through to that promised land called heaven. God calls you and me to no longer starve our bodies as we go and serve our neighbor in love first. Instead, he invites us to daily come here first to receive the good portion from his table, eating and drinking the word of life, sitting at the feet of Jesus. My challenge for you this week is to either start or continue to sit at the feet of Jesus every day, daily reading your devotional books, go to one of the Bible studies offered by the church, make a commitment to begin each day by saying a prayer or ending it with one. Then we can go out there and be like Marthas and to love our neighbors. May God first find us receiving his blessings before we go out to be a blessing for others. In his name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, both now and forevermore. Amen. At this time, we stand as we continue on with the words of the Nicene Creed projected before you on the screen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,